This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greeting and salutation upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped on the hadith about trying to gain peacefulness, contentment inside our lives, where we concluded on certain verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Indeed, those who believe and find tranquility, peace and rest inside their hearts via the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, via the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do hearts find tranquility and peace. And likewise, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, the way of life in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will be acceptable is nothing less but al-Islam. Islam is the path of peacefulness. And that path of peacefulness is a path of moderation. And that is a theme of today's khutbah bi'idhn Allah ta'ala, to be moderate in all of our affairs. Islam leads towards moderation in everything that we do inside our lives. And thus we find that the opposite of moderation is to go into excessiveness, extremism or extravagance, which eventually leads the individual to overindulgence and leads to, may Allah forbid, even destruction of the individual. And thus the Quran and the Sunnah, it encourages the individual to live a middle life, not to become those individuals that their whole goal and sole purpose becomes the world, to gain the world, love of the world, respect of the world, and to gain rank or honor or dignity from the people or from the world. When that begins to travel, not just in the heart, but in the mind of the individual, then life just becomes the world, the all gain of the world, to gain that inside one's life. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam inside this hadith, أَجْمِلُوا فِي طَلَبِ الدُّنْيَا, be moderate regarding the seeking of this dunya. فَإِنَّ كُلًّا مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ, al-hadith in the Sunan of Ibn Majah. Every individual has been created or be facilitated for whatever they want to achieve inside their life. Allah will facilitate that, will lead that individual to that. Another hadith, which is more accurate, more specific wording that we find, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ, O mankind, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be moderate in your quest, in your journey regarding this world. فَإِنَّ نَفْسًا لَنْ تَمُوتْ حَتَّى تَسْتَوْفِي رِزْقَهَا, that the person will not die, حَتَّى تَسْتَوْفِيَ, their person will not leave this world until their risk, their provision, their sustenance has been completed. Every single individual's provision, what they're destined to gain upon this dunya, has been decreed 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. وَإِنْ أَبْطَأَ عَنْهَا, even though it may seem to you may be delayed, or the wealth or whatever it may be comes at a later stage, it's all been decreed. When it comes flourishing to the individual, or it comes at a later stage, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ خُذُوا مَا حَلَّ وَدَعُوا مَا حَرُمَا, be moderate inside your quest, your search. Stick to the halal, gain that which is beneficial, and stay away from that which is haram, which is forbidden. Also in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, this hadith is narrated. And thus we find, as the Quran mentions, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, we made you the middle nation, the just nation, never going to extremes or opposites that we find. Everything about al-Islam, al-Islam is Deenul Hanafiyyah, as-samha, is the most accurate belief, the most orthodox belief, the most tolerant belief, the only belief, the only tolerant belief, full of mercy, compassion, and relief for people. That is what Islam is. If a person strays away from that, then you find a person begins to cause difficulty amongst their own self. Various forms of moderation that we want to look at today, bi'idhnin Allah ta'ala. Awalan, moderation regarding one's faith. or one's practice of one's faith, or the actions of faith. We find inside prophetic traditions, Islam is something very easy. So a person, whoever overburdens himself regarding this religion, this affair, will not be able to continue in that way. So a person should not be extremist, but try to be moderate inside your life and try to gain some element of perfection and receive the glad tidings that you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek aid and assistance, strengthening by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and in the evening. Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Iman, warning us that going to extremities regarding our affair, regarding practicing of our faith, will only burden the individual and destroy the individual. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala narrates a hadith, Ayyul amal wa ayyul a'mal ahabbu ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which actions are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, Adwamuha wa in qalla, hadith in Sahih Bukhari. That which is done on a continuous, regular basis. Maybe something even wa in qalla, something small and minute, but something done habitual, a regular practice that we find, is an action which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what we find inside our society, what may be classified as linguistically burnouts that we find, people who are just zealots, not zealots who've given up their faith, but full of linguistically zeal, of passion, that certain moments of belief and conviction that they have, but after some time it burns away. That so-called claim of iman within themselves is taken away or is burnt out, and there's various reasons for this passion to die out or to burn out among some of the young individuals that we find. Awwalan, that we find qillatul ilm, a lack of knowledge or focusing on those things that will benefit the individual, because this world is full of, as we began with, the worldly gain. Even the worldly gain in Islamic sciences as well, that people want to claim to specialize in certain things or learn certain things or think they're going to benefit people with certain things. Certain mawad, mawdu'at, certain topics, they're only for people of deep understanding of religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which become trivial, which become common practice amongst the awam, the masses of people, that this person is dalun. This person misguided. This person is ignorant. This person is innovator. This person is a kafir. This person is a fajir. This person is a sinner. This person is going to hell. This person is going to Jannah. These are the tips of tongue of many of the masses of the youth. That as if their whole life thrives upon trying to place people in pockets, inside boxes, and worry about that, and fail to understand spirituality, or begin to focus on tertiary issues, the way a person may display themselves, the way they may dress. These things are all important inside Islam, but they don't become the all end goal, the all end purpose. That if a person does this action or does this in a certain manner, then this becomes a symbol of religiosity, becomes a symbol that this person is a pious individual, or this person is holding fast to something. And thus we find the masses of our youth, that they've just burned out their faith, or the other extreme, becoming harsh inside their ibadah, making things that which a person can exert inside their own spare time, making that the benchmark, that every single individual needs to carry out this practice to reach the idealistic element of faith that we find. And this passion can be praised at times, there's no doubt about that. That zeal and passion is something good to have, but it needs to be codified. And just like many of the youth may have this zeal and passion, there were people who existed before who had exactly the same passion, the same zeal, or had even more zeal and passion. None other than the companions, the friends of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that we find. For example, we find Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, that we find known for excessive ibadah, for excessive worship. So when the Prophet alayhi salam heard about his ibadah, his worship, he rebuked him that don't go to excessive amounts of fasting every single day, of praying every single night. Take a break, take a rest. إِنَّ لِبَدَنِكَ حَقْ, indeed your body has a right over you. And likewise, one even more specific a hadith whereby the Prophet ﷺ made Salman al-Farisi and Abu Darda, made it to become brethren, companions, to live, to be with one another, to share with one another. So when Salman enters into the house of Abu Darda, sees his wife in a disheveled state, he asks her the question, how are you living? How is it you're living in this manner? She said that your brother doesn't want to take the good things of this dunya, those things which are permissible. So at that night, when he stood up to offer his prayer, he stopped him, told him to rest, to take it easy upon himself, told him not to fast, but to fast every other day. Salman or Abu Darda still felt this may be something was wrong. So the following day when they approached the Prophet ﷺ, expressed this to him. He said that Salman has advised you the right thing. Inna li rabbika haq. Your Lord has a haq. Wa li nafsika haq. Your soul has a right. Your body has a right. Wa li ahlika haq. And your family has a right. So give everything its due right. Don't come extreme in affairs. Other companions that we find, or specific companions, went to even more. And you read about their life at the end of their life, they felt upset. And said, if only I took the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, to fast one day and to break the fast and not to fast. So this zeal and this passion was codified by the Prophet ﷺ. The famous hadith of Hanzala Abu Bakr As-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whereby they mention that when we sit with the Prophet ﷺ, as if we're visualizing Jannah, we're visualizing an-nar, the hellfire, we become so overwhelmed, but we return back to our family members and we begin to play with our children and enjoy time with our family members. Maybe this is some element of distraction, of hypocrisy. We don't have the same level of iman. So when he expressed this to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, they went to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. He said, Ya Hanzala, sa'atan wa sa'atan. Oh Hanzala, there's a time for a person to relax, to enjoy their life with the good things, to revitalize, to rejuvenate the iman, to come back so ibadah becomes refreshing, ibadah becomes more focused. And that's why there's nothing wrong with spending time with one's family, one's children. It's all nawr min al-ibadah, anwa'ul ibadah, all other forms of ibadah, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, three individuals that inquired about the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. They inquired about his life. They said, where are we from this? Where are we from this, from the practice of Prophet alayhi salatu salam? So one of them said that I'll pray every single night. The second one said that I'll fast every single day. And the third one said that I will not get married, not have a relationship with women. So when the Prophet alayhi salam, he came home and he heard about this, and he called these three individuals. He said that I pray and I rest, I fast and I break my fast, and I marry and I live with women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah has got nothing to do with me. Can anyone be at a greater level than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, sallallahu alayhi wasalam? But yet he's teaching them that there's an element of moderation inside life that a person needs to develop. The second type of moderation that we find, moderation in one's wealth. The Quran is replete with so many ayat speaking about the use of wealth and the dunya. But it always hints about the dunya. And as we find from مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. There's some people who say, just give us good inside this world. وَمَا لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٍ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Some people just pray, oh Allah, just give me good in this world. They have no shit inside the Akhirah. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. But the real believers are those individuals who say, what? Give us good in this world and give us good in the hereafter. Then here comes the secret element of the real believer understands this dunya and the wealth. And save us from the punishment of the hellfire. Make me use my wealth to rescue me, deliver me from the hellfire. Those are the true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inside the end of Surah Al-Qasas, the 28th chapter of the Quran, speaking about Qarun, who will be given this immense wealth and property will be given to him. Then Allah mentions, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share of this dunya. Even though majority ulama, tafsir, Ibn Kathir, Imam Suyuti, in Durr al-Manthur mentions, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا أَعْمَالُ الصَّالِحَةِ. Your righteous actions. فَلَا حَرَجْ أَنْ نَأْخُذُ لُغَةً. No harm in taking it linguistically as other ulama have taken. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget to take not just your actions inside this dunya, but your fair share of this dunya. That which is halal, that which is permissible for the individual to carry out inside this dunya. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. إِشَارَ أَثَانِيَا. That وَأَحْسِنْ. Show goodness to people like Allah showed goodness to you.
As if Allah is saying that this wealth that I bestow upon you, take this wealth and deliver it to the people around you. I show goodness to you for a purpose, that you begin to deliver that kindness, that richness, that wealth, that property to other subjects, other individuals around you. And that's in this hadith, as we mentioned, لَن تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَوْفِيَ رِزْقَهَا وَإِنْ أَبْتَعَ عَنْهَا. All of us, our risk has been destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No individual leave this dunya. No individual leave this dunya except for the individual will be completed. وَمَا تَذْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَقْسِبُ غَدَى وَمَا تَذْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتَ. The end of Surah Luqman that we find. No soul knows what is going to earn tomorrow. That's what you find sometimes it's strange. It exists in this world that people who are full of wealth, property, everything, that just by the blinking of an eye, whether it be the crashing of the stock market or death of an individual, that you find everything just comes to a standstill at the end of the individual. And likewise, the opposite, a person in a poverty state may inherit, may be given wealth, becomes a rich individual. That's all be destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ أَبْتَعَ عَنْهَا. Even though maybe delay or slow in coming to the individual, every individual, their risk will be completed. خُذُوا مَا حَلَّ وَدَعُوا مَا حَرُمَ. Take that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for you and stay away from the haram. That's why you find, unfortunately, inside sometimes our Muslim society, people just want to get rich. They don't care anymore whether it's halal or haram, whether it's riba, whether it's interest, whether it's some form of haram dealings, dealing in alcohol, dealing in elements which are haram. All that people worry about, that being a rich individual, gaining the wealth, and then thinking that at the end of it, just give some sadaqah. The end does not justify the means. It's a principle of sharia. You can't steal, you can't rob, you can't carry out haram. And at the end of it, say, look, I give some sadaqah to the people. I help poor people. La. Inna Allah tayyib, wa la yaqbalu illa ma kana tayyiba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. Only accept that which is pure. You can't carry out haram means and then try to think that you're going to help other individuals via this wealth or gain some benefit. Likewise, you find various ayat inside the Quran about wasting of wealth, squandering one's wealth, or holding back upon one's wealth. وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ. Give the neighbors their right, close family members towards you. Give the poor individuals, the wayfarer, the traveller, give their wealth. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising these individuals giving their wealth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Don't now waste your wealth. Because some people, that's what they hide behind. People are wealthy. They say, look, I give sadaqah, I give wealth. I'm now free to do what I want with my wealth. If I want to live a lavish lifestyle, I want to spend millions. If I want to do this, I could do that if I want to do it. La. An ayah to shield. The ayah is trying to highlight that you can do what you want to do, but it's codified. Those people who waste their wealth, كانوا إخوان الشياطين, are the brethren of the devil. The devil has intoxicated them. That's why ulama, they mention that intoxication of khamr is one form of intoxication. Something which is more dangerous than that is khamr al-dunya. Is the intoxication of this world. If you get intoxicated with the world, with wealth and property, لا سائل لها. There's no end, there's no barrier. You will continuously drown deeper and deeper inside this ocean. So this khamr, this intoxication, is a deeper intoxication than the liquor and the wine that we're surrounded by. Likewise, we find after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verse after mentions, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ. Don't then tighten your hand towards your neck. كِنَايَ عَنِ الْبُخْلِ. Don't become miserly. Don't become stingy with your wealth. That now restraining yourself or restraining your wealth. وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْصُورًا. Don't expand your wealth just to begin to give out your wealth out as well. Be limited. Your family, your children, the people around you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then again continues. That don't worry about your children. We're going to provide for them and provide for you. So all these ayat, all about wealth, all about property, all about moderation. Till eventually also we find inside the end of Surah Al-Furqan that we find. Because just like these ayat inside Surah Al-Isra, they're speaking about sifat of the believing individuals, the characteristics that they're doing, the characteristics they stay away from. And likewise the end of Surah Al-Furqan. the 25th chapter of the Quran. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also then once again begins to praise Ibadur Rahman. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Those who don't waste their wealth, and those who don't hold back their wealth, and they are between that qawama. Qawama can be translated as moderation inside their wealth. They know what to spend upon and what to hold their wealth back upon. And likewise we find in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that every day two angels they descend from the heavens and the earth, and one of them prays, oh Allah, compensate this into every person who spends in your cause. The other angel says, oh Allah, destroy every miserly individual who holds back their wealth. Hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Kitab al-Zakah, that we find. Likewise, we find thirdly, moderation in one's food and drink. That in the food and drink that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan, innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Oh mankind, eat from the good things, the provision from the earth, eat from it. Enjoy this good food. Once again, ishara. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, don't follow the footsteps of the devil? The beginning of the ayah is in relationship towards food and drink. As if it highlighted, don't begin to waste your food and drink and become excessive. يَا بَنِي آدَمْ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. يَا بَنِي آدَمْ, O children of Adam, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. Every time you come to the masjid, you come for prayer, you come out, take your beautiful clothing, your beautiful attire, coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Display the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon you. And eat and drink, and do not waste. Indeed, Allah does not like the individuals who waste. Then we find again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, speaking to the believers and speaking to the messengers, يَا أَيَّا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا الصَّالِحَةِ إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. The way of the messengers, eat and drink and rejoice. And once again, why the concept of eating and drinking? وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحَةً. Strengthen this food and drink to strengthen you for ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much food and drink does an individual need? Hadith in Bukhari that we find, eat enough food that will keep your spine upright. And third, if you have to eat, a third for food, a third for drink, and a third linnafas for you to breathe in. These are teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Excessive eating and drinking that we find and living, this lavish concept that we find that some people think. Unfortunately, we find it may sound very, very strange for some of us. But this concept, it leads to laziness. It leads to obesity, which is prophesied by the Prophet alayhi salam. Hadith in Bukhari. That this is Muslim ummah will begin to face obesity. Excessive eating and drinking leads to laziness, leads to stagnation, leads to, that may sound even more strange for some of us, but it leads also to downfall. And this is a fact. If you read through the history of the Islamic Empire, study in great detail, you find a lavish lifestyle of eating and drinking that we find. It's all documented, it's all visible. Even today you can go to the Topkapi Museum inside Istanbul and see the lavish lifestyle of the rulers, the emperors. And just even recently, you find in some of the Muslim countries, they find when they change certain things. 500 servants living inside a presidential house, cooking for one president of a country. It may sound strange for us, but these are facts that this Muslim ummah is full of. Some people have to defend and say, no, there's nothing wrong with that. This, if you study in great detail, it is one of the elements that the Islamic Empire collapsed on many occasions. When we became rulers and governors for the sake of the earth, for the world, so the so-called to show the world, to show the people what we possess, what we own, to boast in the kafara, to boast the disbelieving individuals, look at our power, look at our strength, for what intent? And some people want to hide behind and say, this is something good to show the world. This is nothing good to show the world. This is nothing but facade, corruption, opening up the world for people to be derailed away from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Build one masjid and spend billions on the world and then try to justify to people, to bamboozle us and say, look, at least they built a masjid on the face of this earth. Billions have been spent on other things. Who's accountable for that? Billions are spent. Muslim Ummah is clearly visible in front of us, in dire need, dire necessity. But give a few millions, that's sadaqah given to these people. Why can't we build cities for them? Why can't we build a life for them? Why can't we build homes for them? Why can't we build a lavish lifestyle for them? Because why? There's no element of moderation, no element of understanding of this wealth that Allah subhanahu has bestowed upon this rich Muslim Ummah.
The final element of moderation that we find is moderation and our concept of friendship towards the people around us and even the Muslims around us that we find. In a hadith in Surah Al-Tirmidhi that we find that a person shouldn't show over excessiveness towards a person that they love, because a person that they love may one day become an enemy towards them. And likewise, a person shouldn't show excessive hatred towards a person, because maybe that person may eventually become a close, beloved individual to that individual. This is what Islam is. Moderation in all of our affairs, the way that we deal, the way that we conduct ourselves. That we are transparent in our dealings, transparent in the way that we conduct ourselves. We're not individuals that we begin to show two faces towards the society. Thus we find that the disbelieving individuals, their hatred, their rancor, their ill feeling is displayed. It's totally displayed how they feel about Islam and towards the Muslims. We show no hatred towards any society or any individual. Our hatred is towards kufr, towards disbelief, disobedience, rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does it become upon the entity, upon the individual? It's because the kufr that they display, even Muslims amongst us, it should be a balanced approach. As Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, that every Muslim that you see, you should love and hate them moderately, according to the degree of their kufr, their disbelief. Person shouldn't go to extremities towards other Muslims or harm other Muslims. And that's as we began with this concept of excessiveness. We can clearly see it being displayed day in and day out. That we find that excessiveness towards non-Muslims that we find, and excessiveness towards Muslims, that punishing, torturing, harming other Muslims. Where there may be Muslims who don't believe in something, who don't agree with something, don't agree with the status quo, don't agree with certain legislations, don't agree with certain principles, that doesn't give any individual the right to charge a person with treason, that a person pumped up charges on a person, that this person should be executed inside a Muslim society. Is this what our Muslim society has come? A society that is full of equity, justice, that people around us, clerics around us, Muslims around us, what they fear now, if anybody say anything which seems to be controversial inside the wider world, then bring that punishment person to punishment. Torture them. Bring them and execute them. For what basis? What purpose? For what purpose is it really we study in great detail? It's only to defend one's own honor, one's own dignity, one's own purpose. Islam doesn't belong to any identity or any individual. Islam is a teaching of moderation, a teaching of justice, a teaching of equity. This is how Islam flourished. Islam spread far and wide via the system of the justiceness that we delivered to people, towards Muslims around us, and likewise the non-Muslims. History has testified that time and time again, how we lived, how we conducted ourselves, how honest we were, how just we were, how people became receptive towards that. And now we live, may Allah forbid, once again, in a stage of terrorism that we find. Tyranny over us, tyrannical rulers over us, for their own purposes, harming their subjects, harming their people, day in and day out. For what intent? Thus a person prays to Allah to relieve us from tyranny, from oppression, from hardship, to guide these individuals to become just and fair to the subjects around them, to the people around them. It's a great big responsibility to govern a land, to govern people, to be a state of governance and authority. To take someone's life isn't trivial. To take a Muslim's life is even more severe. It's even more severe that a person becomes responsible for that on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. Thus we find that Umara before were worried about the subjects around them. That any destitute individual, any poor individual, any harmed individual, then the brunt of that blame comes back to me. Comes back to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Comes back to me that I'm responsible. And this is the mindset that we should encourage inside our society. That whatever small element of authority that we have, to be fair, to be just. Because we find that day in and day out, even a minor scale inside our society, people are complaining about this person took away my wealth.
took away my property, didn't pay me appropriately, didn't give my due right, didn't return this back to me. It's all one big reflection that we become extreme inside our affairs, that we don't give the rights of the people that belong to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give grant us all the tawfiq and ability to become ajmilu fit talam, to become moderate inside our affairs, beginning with our ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strengthen ourselves with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our worship becomes strengthening us inside our life, that we know al-ibadah nawun min al-hikmati. Ibadah is an intense form of wisdom, that a person knows when to do certain actions, when to say certain actions, say certain things. It becomes a fruitful life for the individual in encouraging the people around them. Person becomes moderate in their wealth and in their property, moderate with them, moderate in their food and drink, everything about them. Look at the blessed example of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, moderation, everything that he did and he lived. And his moderation, it was full of extremity. And the only reason of that was because he was the Prophet of Allah. And he had to reach that higher level to show his people that my level is far superior. And no one on the face of this earth will ever be able to reach that level or come close to the level of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But he becomes a benchmark that in our private lives to encourage ourselves of spirituality and devotion. May Allah kind of grant us all the tawfiq and ability to reach towards that benchmark, and likewise to be in the end conclusion, to be with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that the life of exertion and effort and da'ab and fatigue and hardship that we find, that the end result becomes meeting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and beyond that becomes seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the final days, be documented as being the greatest blessing for the people of Ahl Sunnah.